When you think about fruit, some people say this. They say that as a believer, you will produce fruit. People will see that fruit. And so that one of the ways you know you're a Christian is by looking at the fruit in your life. And they'll go to a passage that says things like, you will know them by their fruits. And then they say that if you can't look at your life and see fruit or a lot of fruit or see it plainly, then the question is, you may not be a Christian. Is this true? How does the fruit and the whole aspect fit together? And we're going to see that in these weeks to come. We have divided our study of the Christian life into four areas. We talked about the walk of the Christian life, the conflict of the Christian life. The third part is fruit in the Christian life. And the fourth part is going to be sin in the Christian life. And we began by looking at the walk. And if you remember, when we looked at that, we talked about the Bible said that we're to walk worthy of our calling. That was the charge, the plan to walk worthy. How we live, we're to live in that way, walking worthy. And we're called children of God. And we're to walk in light, walk in love, and walk in wisdom. That's what we saw. From that, we moved to the conflict. And that's where we've been for the last 2 to 3 weeks, looking at the conflict in the Christian life. We saw that there's a battle going on inside of every believer, and it's the flesh versus the spirit. We looked at Galatians 5:17, and if you're in Galatians 5 right now, just look down at verse 17. It says, "For the flesh sets its desires against the spirit against the flesh. They are in opposition to one another, so you may not do the things that you please." There's a battle, flesh against the spirit against the flesh. And we saw some powerful truths when we talked about this. We said, good news and bad news. Good news is you're not the way you used to be. The bad news is you are the way you used to be. The good news, you're not the way you used to be. You've been born again. You've been changed on the inside, that you're a new creation and you've been made alive and the Holy Spirit lives inside you. But the bad news is you are the way you used to be. You still have the bent to do wrong. You still have the flesh, the pull to do wrong. And that's that battle that we've seen. So there's the good news and the bad news. And here was our overhead on the conflict. And we talked about how that we are different because we're in union with Christ. We're born again, the Holy Spirit. But we said that there's the battle against the flesh and the spirit. And then we finished last week by seeing how do we have the victory. And it's based on that threefold aspect, the power, the position, and the pulls. And then we talked about that. Let me just remind you as we get started, because I think this is so important. We said if we're going to have victory in this battle that goes on between the flesh and the spirit, the conflict, we've got to, first of all, yield to the power. That's the power of the Holy Spirit who's in us. Galatians 5:16 says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's important. We saw then the position. And our position is we died and rose again to newness of life with Jesus Christ. We're a new position. We're a new person. And there's some great truths in that. That we're a new life. And we no longer, since we died to that sin, so to speak, we no longer have to serve. That tells us the third part, which is the pull. And the bottom line is, whichever one you yield yourself to, that's who you're going to serve. If you yield to the flesh, which is the bent to do wrong, you're going to do wrong things. If you yield to the power of the Holy Spirit who's inside you, you're going to do what's right. You're going to live in God's power. That's what we saw. And we saw last week as we ended it and basically said, stop, you know, in Romans 6, verse 12, it says, stop letting sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey His love. Do not present yourselves to sin, but present yourselves to righteousness. Our conclusions of this were this. Don't be surprised by the battle. There are people, because when they trust Christ as Savior, they have been told that when you trust Christ as Savior, everything's going to be great. And it's not true, because you still have the pull to do wrong. And there are people who have been told that, and when they, as believers, have bad thoughts, do bad things, have that pull to do wrong, they even begin to question and say, I wonder if I really am a Christian, because if I really am a Christian, why would I think that way? And the truth is, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born again, you are changed, but you still have the pull to do wrong. So don't be surprised by the battle. And the second thing is, we said, take the means of the victory. That is the power, the position, and the pull. That's what you want to do. Now, what we want to do this morning is we're going to move to the next area, and we're going to put them together at the start. We're going to talk about the fruit in the Christian life and sin in the Christian life, because they go together. They do tie together. And what happens is, it depends on how you live, which one is going to be happening. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be fruit in your life. If you live in the power of the flesh, there's going to be sin in your life. And the Bible calls it the deeds of the flesh, or the works of the flesh, and we'll see that. What difference does it make? Well, it makes a difference in three things. I want you to think about it. We're going to go in details in just a little bit because we're going to get background. Three ways that it matters on which one you live in. Because number one, it affects your testimony. Number two, it's going to affect your fellowship with God and others. And number three, it's going to affect the results, whether there is fruit or whether there is the works of the flesh. Fruit of the Spirit, works of the flesh. We're going to see how that ties together. It does matter how we live. Let me start off by giving you this, and I want you to think about a little background. The Bible has a principle called sowing and reaping. It's true, and if you look at your life, you look at anybody's life, you look at anything, you're going to see that this principle is there. It basically is what you put in, you get out. Whatever you sow, you reap. It is always that way. Just turn your page, if your Bible's like mine, to Galatians chapter 6, just maybe one page over, and look at verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." There are people, especially when they're younger, they call sowing their wild oats and all that kind of stuff, and they say things like, "I'm going to do that, and I'm just hoping for a crop failure." And the truth is, whatever you sow, you're going to get back. In fact, there's a principle of the Scripture that whatever you sow, you always get back whatever you sow. You always get back more than you sow. You're going to reap more. That's why when you do what is good, there are great blessings. When you do what is bad, there's discipline. So there's this principle in the Bible of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. It's a universal truth. Whatever you put in, you get out. You can see it in your life. You can see it in non-Christians. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian or non-Christian. There's that principle and truth that God has built into the world that what you put in, you get out. Put in bad, you live a right. You put in good, you live a right life of righteousness. There are good results. You put in bad, or you live a right life of unrighteousness, there's going to be bad results. There's really two ways to live. Power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the flesh. Look at the results. Look at Galatians 6, 7 again. Same passage, same verse. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, whatever you put in, this is what you're going to get out. This is what you reap." Notice, "For the one who sows to his own flesh," there's the flesh, "shall reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit," that's the living in the power of the Holy Spirit, "shall reap from the Spirit eternal life." And that's the blessings aspect. So whatever you put in, you get out. If you live in the power of the flesh, there's going to be, as he calls it, corruption. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be what he calls life. So you could even stop and ask yourself a question this morning. What am I doing? How am I living? We've already seen the whole idea that we're to walk worthy of the call in which we've been called. We've seen the idea of the conflict. It is in our lives. It is there. So then how are we supposed to live? What are we supposed to do? We talked last week that there is a way to have this victory in this big battle. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's that position that we're in Christ and we're made alive. There's that aspect that we don't have to yield to the flesh. We don't have to. And so in Galatians 5:17, and if you want to go back in that area, I want you to see this. The flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh, there's the conflict. Now, what are we supposed to do? Now, before I go any further, let me just open this up first of all. Any questions about anything we've talked about so far? So we've moved from the conflict. Yes?
So if I have bad thoughts, but I don't do those bad thoughts, then it's okay.
Okay, in the sense when a bad thought comes, sometimes we have no control over the thoughts that are there because we have that flesh that says, you know, think this is a bad thought. If it's a thought in which we're yielding to it, in a sense, you need to confess it and deal with it. But most of the time, in a sense of a thought that comes into our brain, we don't always have control over that. So, in a sense, any kind of temptation is not necessarily sin. A temptation to do wrong is not sin. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. So temptation in itself is not sin. Responding to the temptation could result in sin. So we got a battle. That on a normal, just a normal old person who's a Christian, we've got the power of the Holy Spirit, we're made alive, we're different people, we're in that position with Christ, and yet we still have the pull to do wrong. It's there. And you put any of us in a certain situation, and we will do wrong, any of us. In fact, if you say, "Not me," take heed lest you think you stand, that you fall. The worst thing you can ever do is think that you're not going to fall. The worst thing you can ever do is say, "Hey, I don't have a problem in that area, I'll be okay." You're going to have a problem right there. So be careful. And now, we've seen the aspect of dealing with this. Okay, then what do we do? Galatians 5:17 says, "The flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh." What happens in our lives? Now, we've already seen that when you live in the flesh, it's sin. When you live in the spirit, it's righteousness and goodness. What does it really look like? And I want you to see Galatians 5. Look at verse 19, and I want you to notice how he puts it together. It may be something you've never noticed, because I've had people come up to me and say, "You know, the fruits of the Spirit's great, isn't it? You know, fruits of the Spirit's love, joy." It's not fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit. It's one. But notice, it is the deeds of the flesh. Watch. He says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident," verse 19, "which are," and he's going to list this. Now, I want you to understand this, that if you yield to the flesh, which is inside you, you are capable of any of this stuff right here. Now, there are people who will tell you, if you do this stuff right here, you're not a Christian. I want you to understand that as a Christian, if you yield to the flesh, you are capable of doing these things. Look what they are. Verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. That is porneia in the Greek. It means illicit sex. Sex, any illicit sex, it doesn't matter what it is. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousedness, things like this which I forewarn you and I've told you that those who practice those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, he's not saying that if you do that, you won't go to heaven. He's saying this is the lifestyle of the unbelieving world, that's the flesh. And the flesh doesn't go to heaven. And the people who live that way, in that sense, are the unbelievers, so to speak. Now, he's just saying, listen, if you live in the deeds of the flesh, that's what's going to come out in your life. And probably in our lives, sometimes these things come out. You are capable of these things. I'm capable of these things. Envying, disputing, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, impurity, immorality, sensuality, drunkenness, carousing. Those things are in people's lives. I have people come up and say, hey, if a person says he's a Christian and he goes out and gets drunk, he's not a Christian. If a person says he's a Christian and he has sex with his girlfriend, he's not a Christian. The Bible says that you are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and you are saved eternally. The Bible says you have the flesh. It is a battle going on inside of you. And if you yield to the flesh, you are capable of those things as a Christian. Now, what happens when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Notice verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it didn't say fruits. It says fruit because it's the aspect that coming from the Holy Spirit are these character traits, so to speak. This is what comes out of your life. Instead of immorality and envy and drunkenness and strife and outburst of anger, what comes out? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, look at the very last how the verse goes. Against such there is no law. You know what that means? That means you can't make rules to make these things come out in your life. You can't set up a set of rules and say, everybody, you got to be kind if you just follow that rule. There is no law that makes these things happen. The only way these happen in your life, it comes out by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. So what a contrast. That there is the deeds of the flesh, which are in our lives, and there are the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And we're capable of both. Let me stop again. Any questions, comments on this before we go a little bit further? How many of you have experienced the deeds of the flesh? Oh, you're not Christians? That's what the world would say. Some people would come up to you. Some other Christians would come up to you and say, if you've done any of these things, you're not a Christian. But then they clarify because they've even done them. And so they say, well, if you do them for any length of time. I said, what time? I mean, is it a month, 2 months, 3 months? I mean, do you have to deal with envy for the rest of your life? What if after 15 years of a Christian you still have an envy problem? Does that mean you're not a Christian? When is the cutoff point that suddenly you decide, well, I guess I'm not one? Fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have experienced the fruit of the Spirit? You love people that you never thought you'd love. You have peace of God that passes all understanding. There are times in your life you are kind and you say, that's not me. I don't know what I'm doing that for. There is love. There is joy. In the midst of a trial, you can count it all joy because it's God through you. And people would come up to you and say, how can you be so calm in a time like this? And it's the grace of God through me. That's how it works. You've experienced that. Every one of us in this room have this battle. And if you yield to the flesh, those other things, 19, 20, and 21, those verses, that's going to come out in your life. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, verses 22 and 23 is going to come out in your life. Now, a while ago we said, what difference does it make? We said it affects us in three areas. It affects our testimony, it affects our fellowship, and it affects our results. Now, let's think about it for a minute. It affects our testimony. If you live in the power of the flesh, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, you are carnal people, you are like babies. That's what he calls them. He says, you're no different from the world. Now, the truth is that if you live in the flesh, as far as your testimony is concerned, there will be many people who are not believers who will look at you and they will say to you, "Why should I want to be a Christian? You're no different than me." That's what your testimony will be. Now, we talked about this last week. You remember when Paul wrote the Corinthian letter? Did he tell them they were believers or non-believers? When he wrote the letter to the church that was the worst church in the New Testament, they had all of the sexual problems, they had all the envy, and they had all the divisions, they had all the strife. They were even eating meat offered to idols. They did all of those things. Did he ever say that they were not believers? He calls them saints. He calls them set apart. He calls them with blessings and everything. And yet he says to them, "You are carnal people. If you live in the power of the flesh, it will affect our testimonies. And people will say, you're no different." Now, if you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, coming out in your life will be the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the meekness, the kindness, the self-control, all of that. And Jesus Christ said that when you show that kind of love, when you abide in me, the world will know you belong to me by your love for one another. In John 15, verses 7 and 8, he talks about when you abide, the world will know you're my disciples. So it affects our testimony, how we live before the unbelieving world. You live in the flesh, they're going to look at you and say you're no different. Let me tell you, I talked to some people just the other day about this. It was some college people. Do you realize that in the whole idea of sexual sins, there's no difference percentage-wise between believers and unbelievers in sexual sin? Believers commit adultery, fornication, and all, just as much as unbelievers. The percentage is almost the same in America. It's almost like the Christian said, that one doesn't count. You know, we'll just be like the world in that because it's such a strong pull. There's that idea of if 90 or 80, 88% of the people in the United States believe that there is a God. Of that, 95% of those 88% believe that the Bible is God's Word. And of that 90-something 5%, almost 80% of those people believe that it is inspired and perfect. And yet, the lifestyle of all these people who say this is God's Word and perfect and true is not much different than those who reject it all. I wonder why. Because we're living in the flesh as a whole. It's so easy to... That's the natural thing. And by the way, just remember, that's your natural bent. That's the way you're going to naturally want to live. That's why he says you have to walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it affects our testimony. Second, it affects our fellowship. That was the second one. When we live in the flesh, we have broken fellowship. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 says we walk in darkness. And in darkness, there's no fellowship. And the Bible tells us that when we have sin in our lives, when we live in the flesh, not only do we lose our fellowship with God, we lose our fellowship with fellow believers. Listen, you know, I mean, as a pastor, and I don't check up on anybody. I don't even know where you are half the time. I mean, let's face it, most of the time. But you know, when a person quits coming to church, I mean, a person who'd been here, and then suddenly they're not here, and they're not here, and they're not here, and then you call them and you find out they're not going somewhere else. They're just not going. Almost every time when it gets right down to the bottom line, it's because they got some kind of sin in their life and they don't want to come. First of all, they don't have fellowship with God, and they sure don't have fellowship with other believers, and they don't want to come. Almost every time. So I'll be checking on you. If you miss two or three in a row, I'll be okay, what is it this time? No, anyway, that's true. And when the moment we live in that flesh, we have that our fellowship with God is broken. Now, we didn't say relationship. Our relationship can never change. You're a child of God by faith, and you have eternal life, and nothing can ever take it away. But you can lose that fellowship, and you lose fellowship with believers as well. What about when we live in the power of the Holy Spirit? 1 John 1, verses 3 and 7 basically say we have fellowship with God and other believers when we walk in the Spirit, when we walk in the light. The greatest thing in life is having that fellowship with our Father and our fellowship with other believers. I mean, let's face it, most of the time I'm in fellowship, especially on Sunday. I mean, most of the time. I can hardly wait for you guys to get here. I can hardly wait to see you. And you probably feel the same way. I mean, one of the things you want to do is see the other believers and get with them and talk with them and spend time with them. That's that fellowship part that comes because that we're walking in the Spirit. There's a third aspect. We said it affects our testimony, it affects our fellowship. The third thing, it affects our results. And that is, there's either going to be the deeds of the flesh are the fruit of the Spirit. That's going to be coming out in our lives. And what I want to do is I want to start, and this is the background, and so we didn't get very far. We're not going to get a whole lot as far as we get into the fruit. But let's talk about fruit in the life of a believer. It's a controversial thing because people will pull out a verse to you in Matthew that says you'll know them by their fruits. And the word there is fruits, not fruit. It's plural, not singular. And we're going to talk about that as we get through it. But let's talk about fruit for a second. And as I'm getting into this, any questions or anything about what we've talked about so far? Anything? Any input? Yeah, Carol.
Hey, I'm still stuck here. He that soweth to the Spirit shall have the Spirit lose life everlasting. I'm stuck here.
Life what?
Life everlasting.
The idea there is the blessings that go with the fruit of the Spirit are living in the power of the Holy Spirit that has an eternality to it. That's all he's talking about. He's not saying that you walk in the Spirit, you get eternal life, because you already got eternal life by faith. He's just talking about that there's that blessing and everything connected with it that goes on.
He
does? But what does Ryrie know? No, you see him. He's great. You mean the Ryrie Bible or his note?
No, the Ryrie Bible.
That was Ryrie Bible. Yeah, I think eternal life is okay, because it really is the word vita eterna. It's life. But the idea there is there's an eternality to what goes on when you live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a truth to that. You realize that what we do in the power of the Holy Spirit, one day when we stand before Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3 says that our manifestations of what we've done in our life will be judged, whether wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. Gold, silver, and precious stone are things done in the power of the Holy Spirit, and there are rewards which go on forever. I think that's the idea. Yeah.
What was that verse that you're talking about,
carnal? I think it's 1 Corinthians 3:3. That's just off the top of my head. We could look over there. Does anybody want to look over there and turn and see if it's 1 Corinthians 3:3 where he talks about, I tried to talk to you, but you were like babes, you were carnal, you lived as men, is what it literally says. I think it's 3:3.
Yep.
It is? It says you are carnal, you are babes, or you walk as mere men, something like that?
Well, it's 1 through 3.
Okay, that whole section, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 gives the part that we're talking about. Okay, anything else? Okay, now let's get into a subject which is confusing sometimes, and that's the idea of fruit. And we're going to raise three questions as we go through this study. First of all, what is fruit? Second is, how do we produce fruit, and are there levels of fruit? And third is, why should we produce fruit? Because what difference does it make? You're going to heaven anyway, right? I mean, the truth is, and there's an aspect. Let me tell you two thoughts when you understand the grace of God. When you understand it, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. Nothing can ever take it away. You're going to heaven. There are two thoughts there. One is, live any way you want to because you're going to heaven anyway. I mean, where sin did abound, just grace keeps abounding, so might as well live as bad as you can because it doesn't matter. That's Romans chapter 6. Paul knew that when people understand grace, that's the question they would raise. Can we just keep living in sin? He says, may it never be. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to live righteously. You're supposed to live godly. Not to be saved or stay saved, but because you are saved. Our response to the grace of God not is sin, it is service. The second aspect, besides the fact of saying, hey, I can just do anything I want. Second one is, it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter whether I ever serve God or not because I'm going to heaven anyway. And that's a truth. But when you stand before Him and everything goes, and you're in your underwear, and he says, come right on in. And you go, I wish I had some rewards or something to go in here. You know? They're gone. He says, every man will be tested as yet by fire. And that idea there is, whoom, boy, you know, it's either it's here or it's there. And Lord willing, you'll be going, oh, God, this is a lot of rewards. This is great. That's what we hope. How do you picture it then? What do you think's going to happen? It's the Bema seat, the rewarding stand. He's going to be there rewarding. Lord willing, we'll all hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay, any questions? What is fruit? How do we produce fruit, levels and all that? And why produce fruit? Let's start with the first one. What is fruit? And really, there are three things. Let me just give them to you. Fruit can be any of these three things. Reproduction, such as salvation. You've heard people talk about, you know, fruit. They had fruit because people trusted Christ. Second is, it's character. It's the fruit of the Spirit that comes out in a life. And third is actually good deeds. So when we talk about fruit in the life of a believer, it can be the whole idea when you lead somebody to Christ. It can be the character that comes out of you, which is fruit of the Spirit. Or it can be just good deeds that you do. And we're going to look at some verses to show that in just a second. So what is fruit? It could be any of those three things. Let's start with the idea of reproduction. The truth is that when you are used by God, and is God doing it all, God bringing people to Himself, using you, and someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, the grace of God, I shared this with you. Friday, two people came in my office. I got to talk to them, and I asked them about going to heaven, and both of them said, we think we're going. And I said, why? And both of them said, because we tried to live good. I mean, we really have done, we're trying real hard, and we've done more good than bad. And I said, hey, I got some great news for you. And they both trusted Christ as their Savior. In a sense, that was fruit. And Paul talks about it. He talks about it in Romans where he says, I long to come there that I might have fruit among you, among the Gentiles, when he's talking about coming to Rome. He says, I'm anxious to get there because I hope as God uses me there, there will be fruit among the Gentiles, meaning that people would come to know Christ. So in your life, if God uses you in a sense, whether it's the watering, the seeding, the sowing and all that, or the fruit coming out of it by the salvation, that's production, so to speak. That's fruit. Okay. Second, fruit is the character. The character that we have. It's what we're like when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, we already saw it a while ago in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's the fruit of the Spirit. You ever thought about the character of God? Do you realize, now get this, this is an incredible truth, that when you are controlled by the Holy Spirit and you're living out the fruit of the Spirit, you are exhibiting the character of God. I'm not talking about all of His character because He's omniscient. No, that's part of His character too. But we're talking about those character traits of love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, kindness, self-control, all those things. That's coming out in your life. That's the character of God. Think about the ways we see God's character. First of all, we see God's character in the law. In the law. When people talk about the law in the Old Testament and the top 10 commandments and then the other 700 and something others, that's the character of God, and it is perfect. And when we look at the law of God, we say, boy, that is perfect. That's why we can't keep it, because we're not perfect. And what the law does, it shows us we're sinners. And so we can look at the character of God by seeing the law. We can also see the character of God in Jesus Christ. Because what did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And when Jesus Christ walked on this earth, and when we study Him and see Him in the written revelation that they've given to us, we can see the character of God. And then the third thing, we can see the character of God through the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I think we sometimes do not comprehend what we really have. Think about this. We're a creation of God. Before the creation of the world, He formed us and plans us. And when we come out, He has weaved us and He's made us wonderful. And yet, even when we come into this world as that wonderful creation of God, we're fallen because our ultimate father is Adam. We come into this world dead in sin. And here, in a sense, we're like sheep, we've gone astray, each one our own way. We don't even care anything about God. We do our own thing. And God, in His love, reaches down, grabs us, in a sense, saves us through His Son Christ, makes you alive on the inside, makes you a totally different person, gives you spiritual gifts so you can serve Him, puts you in different places and opportunities throughout the world as He controls everything so you can be His instrument, gives you possessions and blessings. He provides every needs that you have. He gives even wants that you want. He gives you all this. All of this is the grace of God. And on top of all that, He actually says, I will give you my power inside of you. I will actually live inside of you. And when you yield to me, you will be like me. We walk on this earth, fallen people, and yet we have the character of God, which is hard to believe. We're not talking about Shirley MacLaine who thinks she's God. We're not talking about God on the inside like the New Age movement. We're talking about that the living God indwells those who trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, who empowers us that when we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we exhibit the character of God in our lives. What blessings. I mean, we go around as Christians as if the world is coming to an end. Hey, if it does, he's in charge of it. That's His plan anyway. So we go around like we don't have anything. How's everything going? Oh, it's okay. What's up? Oh, life's hard. What if you were dead in sin? You're at least alive in Christ. You've been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. You've been given all those spiritual blessings Ephesians 1 talks about. How could it be that bad? So we need to live like, hey, I've got a Creator and a Savior, and I've got eternal life. And I am used by the living God, and I can actually show the character of the living God when I yield to the power inside me. That's us. Let's think about the fruit. Look over at Galatians 5 again, back to verse 22. And I want to show you something. And I know we're out of time, so we're just going to start on this. But the fruit of the Spirit is really the character of the believer. Let me just show you this real quickly. Look, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these other verses show where those kind of things come out in our lives and some other places that they're put. But Galatians 5:22 and 23 show us the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It's God's love through us. It's joy. It's joy based on a relationship. It's peace. And it has that idea of peace with God and peace of God. And we'll talk about that. There's patience, which literally means you don't have a short fuse. It's long-suffering. You're under the load. It's kindness. You're considerate of others. It's goodness. You do the right thing. It's faithfulness. You're dependable. It's gentleness, which goes back to the word humility. And then finally, it's self-control, which literally means self-discipline. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Do you realize that? That's what comes out. We can love people like we've never loved before. We can have a joy in our relationship not based on circumstances. See, people talk about, I want to be happy. We've talked about this before. God's plan for our lives is not necessarily to be happy. It's to be holy. It's to have the joy of the Lord, not necessarily the happiness which is based on circumstances. And if things are going good, I'm happy. If things are going bad in my circumstances, I may not be happy. But we've got the joy of the Lord, which is based on the relationship. That's why he says we can count it all joy when we follow the various trials. There's the peace which comes, which passes all understanding. There's the patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You know, that faithfulness part is really important, because when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be dependable. You're going to do what you say. You're going to keep your word. You're going to do what Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You're just going to do it, because that's what you're supposed to do. Humility. We live in a world that's just the opposite of humility. It says, do your thing and tell everybody else to get out of the way because you deserve it. And that's not the way it works. And self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Next time, what we'll do is we'll hit them one at a time. We'll go through some verses, hit some passages, see how some things fit. Then what we'll do, let me come back to this. Then what we're going to do is this. We're going to come back to how do we produce the fruit. And are there levels of fruit? I want you to think about it. Are there? Are there different levels of production as a believer is concerned? And we're going to look at this whole idea of abiding, and we're going to talk about no fruit and fruit and more fruit and much fruit, which we've talked about before. But did that sound funny? Fruit and no fruit and more fruit and much fruit. Yeah, that's there, right there in John 15. He lifts up, huh? Prunes. That's part of producing fruit. So we want to see how that ties together. It's what God does for us. Carol, do you want to comment on that part? Or no, okay. I may have to change that overhead just for Carol. But anyway, okay, let's stop for a second. Questions, comments on anything so far? Oh, Carol, yeah, and then it was your home over there?
Okay, if according to 6:8, there are these eternal blessings, mm-hmm. Are they just the natural results of the production of this fruit, or is there something different?
I think it's the result of living in the power of the Holy Spirit, which means, which not only is it production, which may be fruit where you lead someone to Christ. It may be the production that comes out of the character, love, joy, peace, goodness. It may be the good deeds that are fruit also, which we'll see there.
Okay.
And definitely the good deeds in the power of the Holy Spirit, that's where you'll get rewarded.
Okay.
Because 1 Corinthians...
That doesn't mean just like natural results. There are specific things we're talking about.
Well, the Bible talks at least of four different rewards.
Okay.
Four different crowns. Actually, we could say five, but there are four that crowns, rewards. It seems to be interchangeable, the idea of rewards and crowns. Okay. It's going to be fun when we get a little further. Yes, okay.
Talking about the idea of levels of fruit. And, mm-hmm. But as far as sin goes, God sees sin as sin, right? I mean, there aren't any levels of sin.
Okay, good question. She says, as far as sin goes, I mean, sin is sin, right? And does God see different levels? Well, in a sense, there's two aspects of sin. One, that sin is sin, and that all sin, regardless of what it is, will break your fellowship with God, regardless of what it is. There is a second aspect of sin, though, and that is the consequences associated with sin. Certain sins have greater consequences. You murder somebody, there are consequences that are greater. You look at the life of David, and when he committed adultery and had Uriah murdered, it affected the whole rest of his life. There are different kinds of sins in the sense, as the Old Testament talked about, a sin of, and it literally listed sin, I couldn't help it. It was the person did not premeditate, did not plan. All of a sudden, something happened. And they go, oh boy, I blew it. But there's also what David wrote in Psalm 51 called presumptuous sins, which means you plan on doing it. You know it. You plan on doing it. You're going to do it anyway. And the discipline and the consequences are greater. And I look at it, and the way that helps me understand it is you think about my children. And you've got your little children, and if they say to you, I didn't mean to do it, that's different than, honey, I don't want you to do that. I am too. There's a difference right there. There's a difference on how you're going to deal with them as a parent, and our Heavenly Father deals with them differently too. Deals with us differently. I know time's up, but I'll tell you this quick story, and you know that I've told it before, but I had a friend, when I was just started growing as a Christian, the pastor that really helped me, it was a guy in the church, and he was doing some things wrong, and the pastor actually met with him and said, you know, these things are wrong, and you really need to stop doing it. He said, I'm not going to stop. And the pastor said, well, truthfully, you know, God's going to deal with you. I mean, whether anybody else does or not, God would deal with you. And the guy said, I can take whatever God wants to give me. And I'll never forget it. That guy was pulled up to a convenience store to go get a Coke, and the police arrested him because they thought he was a guy who robbed the store. And he even fit the description of the guy who robbed the store, and they put him in jail. The pastor went to see him, and here is this guy in jail there was no witnesses, and he didn't know what to do. And he said, I'm in bad trouble. And the pastor said, yeah, you are. And he said, what am I going to do? And he said, I don't know what you're going to do. You may be in a situation that you can handle. And he said, you know, you're right. And here I am going around acting. And I'm not saying that every time we say we're going to do something, God's going to do something like that. But there's no telling how God deals with his children. And anyway, the grace of God was they found the guy that robbed the convenience store and the guy got out. But he might not have. And he came out of that saying, hey, I'm never going to say, tell God to bring it on, I can handle it, you know. And so, you know, we don't want any presumptuous sin. And what you want to do is, I mean, as soon as you recognize your sin, you confess it. But don't ever plan to sin. I mean, if you're going to sin, be like the Old Testament passage where it says the sinner couldn't help it. It just happens. We say we couldn't help it, but if we're walking in the Spirit, we can. Anything else? Yes?
Do you think you should pray to have one of the fruit, like for me, pray to have patience?
Okay, it's a good way to put it. You know what causes patience? Tribulation. So I don't know if I want to pray for that or not. But Paul says tribulation works patience. So if you want to have patience, just ask God for tribulation in your life and you'll be patient. The truth is, what you're saying is, here in my life, I want to be a more patient person. Really what you want to do is you want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But in all of our lives, there are certain areas where we have strengths and weaknesses based on our character, on our personalities. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll be okay. But there are certain places that we naturally fail easier than others. So in an area that you say, well, I'm just not patient, not only do you say, Lord, I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit because then I'll be patient in your power, but I also want to watch for the things where I've failed in the past and maybe not put myself in those situations or maybe respond in a different way. So I think it's okay, yeah. What else? Anything else? Yeah, Chad.
Verse 18 says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, it could mean, because in Galatians, see, this whole idea of keeping the Mosaic law had been pushed on these people. So we're not sure whether he is talking about the Mosaic law, which everybody tried to put them under, or is he just talking about law as a principle, because there is a principle that here is law, here is a standard. And for people think that you have to come under this law. And he's saying, look, when you're led by the power of the Holy Spirit, law is not a thing you deal with. It's the fruit of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the truth is, we looked at it back over it when we looked at some other verses. He doesn't ever say, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and you'll walk in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a certain pattern to it. It's walking in the Spirit and then you won't fulfill the lust. It's not the rules and then being filled. So people get it backwards sometimes. So I think that's what he's saying. I think it could be either one. But I would probably, if I was choosing one, I'd probably say the second one. What else? Anything else? Is time up? Do we want to quit? Do we want to go more? Let's just keep going. They can't start without us. No, yes, we better not. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for today. Thanks for this morning. Lord, help us as we think about fruit and how all this works. And Lord, we know that we want to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We want to live in your power and that we'll have the fruit of the Spirit. We'll have that production. We'll have the character. We'll have the good deeds. Lord, we do not want to live in the power of the flesh. We know that there's that tendency, that pull, that natural bent to do that. May we walk in the Spirit so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, we just ask you that we will gain victory as we realize our position, our power in the pools. and may we gain that victory. Lord, help us in the weeks to come as we think about fruit, and that we might be men and women who produce fruit for you, bringing honor and glory to you, so that we can hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.